something, and trying to get a blessing, trying to get something from the Lord. You come and you're looking for something. Why not look and just, hold your hand out. Fill my cup, Lord. And if you do, here's what happens. A lot of people go to church looking for something wrong. You'll always find something wrong. You know why? This place is full of sinners. And you're one of them. Amen? So stop looking at everybody else. Look to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Psalm 40, if you will, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my... He put a new song. I'm sorry, y'all, my pages stuck together. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And, listen, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, you want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? This is how you get blessed. I'm going to show you for just a few minutes a perfect picture of somebody that was taken out of the pit and put into the service of God. Now, whether you like it or not, when He took you out of the pit, He didn't take you out of the pit to see it. Amen. He took you out to serve Him. Amen. And to glorify Him and to bring Him honor and glory. And it ain't about me and you. It's all about Him. Now, we reap benefits from that. We get benefits from that. Number one, we get eternal life. We're never going to die. We're going to live as long as God lives. We have eternal life of God. He'd have to die before we could die. And by the way, you're not a body that has a soul. You're a soul that has a body. Your body's temporary. The soul's eternal. And so therefore, you're going to live forever somewhere. So why don't you choose this day whom you're going to serve? And hey, if the devil's your Lord, serve him. If the Lord's your Lord, serve him. But he doesn't take you out of the pit to do nothing. And church is not all about you. It's about him. So let's look at this fellow. Father, bless your word today. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God, I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm the one that's standing here, God. And I pray you to anoint me. Give me unction. Give me the words to say. Put a guard at my lips. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. But give me liberty. Give me holy boldness, Lord. And then open ears that they could hear. God, we're not going to hear it unless you allow us to. And open eyes that they might see it. And Lord, that's the way you did a lot of us in here today. So if there's one here today that has not received Christ, let today be the day they hear that heavenly calling. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give thee rest. And let them hear from him today. Not me, not anybody in here, but from him. And save them before it's too late. And for that Christian that's wandered afar off, God, draw them back today by your loving Holy Spirit. And for those who are tired, God, give them rest, give them strength, give them encouragement. And let us leave out of here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And let us leave out better than what we came in, Lord. And whatever's done through us, in us, around us, we'll give you the glory for every bit of it. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, the psalmist wrote that he, in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, why would he cry to the Lord? Well, verse 2 tells you why. He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, our natural state as human beings, listen to me, young people. Our natural state as human beings, what we really are, what we're really made of. You don't see the real us. This is what we put on. You know, this morning I got up and on purpose I dressed real nice. I'm going to the Lord's house, King of Kings. I want to honor Him in everything I do. But you don't see the real us. The real us is inside this shell. Now, he cried. And he said, he sought the Lord. He waited on the Lord. And the Lord heard his cry. And then he did something for him. He brought him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. That's our natural state. We're in a horrible pit. And we're just soaked up to the hip in miry clay. This world's a mess. It's full of sin and darkness and death and destruction. And it's full of people who don't even know they're living in it. And they think they're okay. But every once in a while, God will turn the light on and He'll reveal to you that you're what you're really living in. And then He'll say, look at this. Look what you are. Look what you've become. Look where you came from. Look how you're living. You're living in there in the filth of sin and doubt and unbelief. Just look at you. You're in a mess. And He'll open your eyes and show you that. And by the way, until He does, you won't be saved. You won't be saved till He does that. And now, when He does that, you know what will happen? You'll start seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
You'll start seeking the Lord. Now, I remember when He first opened my eyes, I was about, 20, 21, 20-something years old. And He opened my eyes. Let me see what I really was. And listen, what I was not what I really wanted to be. And what you are as a sinner is not what you really want to be. Now, you can lie and say, well, I'm all right. I'm doing real good. But when God shines His eternal holy light on you and reveals to you what you really are, you'll say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then you'll start seeking God. And then when you start seeking God, He'll give you more light. So you don't just turn the light on all of a sudden. He first, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He'll reveal to you who you are through the Word of God. And then, if you'll look at that, and you'll listen to that, and you'll try to say, well, Lord, what's He trying to tell me here? And you'll observe what He's trying to say. Then that will allow Him to open some more light to you, to where then you'll see the wages of sin is death. You're going to die and go to hell. A Christless grave. You understand what I'm talking about? And then when you accept that, you say, woe is me. That is me, Lord. I am a sinner. I am in the miry clay. I am in a horrible pit in my life and my lifestyle and my living and my eternal destiny. I'm in trouble, Lord. And then He'll take somehow, He'll get the Word of God to you, and He'll show you faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Am I too loud? I'm keeping you awake. That's my point. Amen? Listen. And then when He reveals to that you are a sinner, and you, then he'll say, look, I got a sore throat. He'll say, look, you are a sinner. You are in a horrible pit. You are in the miry clay. You're in a mess. But the wages of sin is death. I showed you that. And you'll say, Lord, when I'm doomed, I'm damned, there's no hope for me. He'll say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then He opens the light to where you can understand the gospel, that Jesus lived the life you can't live, and He died the death you can't die in your place, and He rose from the dead to show that God had accepted the sacrifice and you can have eternal life, and God will give you that light. And this is what the psalmist did. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, when you see what you really are and what kind of mess you really in, and God shows you that you're a sinner, then He shows you there's a Savior, then you'll start seeking the Lord, and He'll incline unto your cry. I've been preaching since 1981. I've been ordained since 83. I've never seen a sinner to call on Jesus that Jesus did not incline their cry. I've never seen that. I've never seen a sinner come to Christ and God says, no, I'm not going to save you. Why would He do that? Why would He open your eyes and let you see what you are? Why would He go to all the trouble to get the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word to you so you could hear the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God? Why would He go to all that trouble to preserve those words for all these hundreds and thousands of years? And why would He let His Son die on the cross if He didn't want you to be saved? That's why He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the gospel is exclusive. There's only one gospel. One, that's it.
That's right. Yeah.
There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's the Word of God. It's exclusive. There's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's one way to be saved. And listen, you need to decide what's right. Is it? Are you your own salvation? Is Buddha your salvation? Is Muhammad your salvation? Or is Jesus Christ the only one that lived a sinless life and rose, died on the cross for you and rose the third day? Is He the way to salvation?
Amen.
It's exclusive. There's only one salvation. And don't, young people, don't you let this world mess you up in this coexist stuff. It's not true. It's a lie straight out of hell. The devil himself made that lie up. He's been telling people that ever since the beginning. Yea, hath God said. Ever since the beginning. He's had alternative salvations, alternative saviors, alternative words, all these things, you know. But it's exclusive. There's one way to be saved. And if you don't come that way, there's no other way. It's exclusive. But then it's also inclusive.
Yes.
Now you look smart because all y'all go to school. I can tell everybody in school is smart. My wife teaches school. She's smart. Becky teaches school. She's smart. They used to go to, when my wife went back to school, like she was like, 30 years old or something to get her degree. And now she's got a master's degree. Becky, don't you have a master's also? But Becky has a master's degree. I'm the dumbest one in the house. It's true. It's true. And Becky, Suzanne, and Charity all study special ed type stuff, you know. Which is a wonderful career to go in, by the way. And they need real Christian men in that, too. And so they studied that. And Suzanne was the first to go. She came home and they were teaching her all these brain problems and emotional problems. And she said, Daddy, I found out what's wrong with you at school today. I said, what? She said, you're ADD. I said, I know. I can't help it. I'm just born that way. I learned to adapt. Leave me alone. And then Becky, she went after that and she came back. She said, Daddy, I learned what's wrong with you today. You're ADHD. I said, I know it. I know it. I can't help it. I've learned to adapt. Leave me alone. And then Charity, when she came back, she said, Daddy, I learned what's wrong with you at school today. I said, I know, I'm D-U-M-B. Leave me alone. Who said something? Boy, you better be glad I didn't hear you. Whoever said that, bind them hand and foot and cast them in the outer darkness. But my point is, listen, there's all kind of theories and ideas about why man is a sinner. But there's only one salvation for that sinner. And there's all kind of theories and teachings about who can and who cannot be saved. Well, I've got news for you. The gospel is inclusive. It includes everybody, whosoever will, whosoever will call, whosoever will come. Anybody can be saved that will trust the finished work of Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His burial, and His resurrection. Anybody can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You wasn't born to go to hell. Nobody in here was born to go to hell, for God so loved the world. That's everybody in the world. Well, only some are elected. Well, then why did He so love the world? And we can get all into that. But this guy, the writer, he had to admit that he's a sinner and he's in a mess and he needed a Savior, so he had to decide, who am I going to look to? Who am I going to call on? Am I going to call on Dr. Phil? Maybe Oprah. Maybe she's got the answer. I can go on with that. But you need to realize that by nature you are a sinner. And if you do what comes natural, you're going to sin. Sin is dark and deceiving. It's like a pit, he says. I don't know if you've ever been in a pit. I helped build a nuclear plant when I was younger. And that worries me to this day. And I pulled that electrical cable. I probably pulled 25 miles of electrical cable through those buildings and stuff out there. And we might blow up at any minute now. And I had to dig ditches to put some of that stuff in. And I remember I dug a hole one time 40 foot deep. And I had to go down in there and clean the bottom of it out because dirt had fallen in it. The dirt fell on the dirt. But the inspector didn't like old new dirt being on old dirt. So I had to go in there and get the new dirt off the top of the old dirt. And as I was going down the ladder, somebody said, "Run! There's a copperhead in there." I'm like, "Whoa." And I was about that far. I said, "I don't see him." And he said, "He's over there." And I looked. He wasn't about that long. I said, "He ain't but just a baby." He said, "The baby will kill you too. No matter how big he is, it'll kill you. It's poison." And sin is the same way. You get down in that pit with sin, and it'll kill you. No matter how big the sin is or how little the sin is, it's sin. You're in a pit. And you're going to need somebody to help you get out. Now, he saw that. The old saying says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You know, our guilty conscience is like clay. Our conscience is defiled, it's dirty. You say, "Well, if I know my heart," you're talking about your conscience. And the Bible says that our heart's deceitfully wicked. No man can know it.
Amen.
But our conscience condemns us one minute and congratulates us the next minute. Like clay. Like old. It's not solid. You can't count on it.
Right.
John 16:8 says He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Romans 3:17. Listen. You done got stuck in a life, and you need to know that the same God, for God so loved the world, loves you, but you also need to know He didn't come to the world to condemn sinners, but He came to save them, but you need to know you're condemned already.
Amen.
You see, you're waiting for that one big sin to condemn you. Well, you committed that as soon as you realized that you broke God's law. That's when you were condemned that day. There is no age of accountability. Some people say, "Well, you know, some kids when they're 12, they can be saved." Well, I'm going to tell you when you can be saved. The day you realize you've sinned, you need to be saved. Because God will hold you accountable from there on. And you better quit looking for other ways and other people and look to Jesus to get you out of that pit. And no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be good enough to get out by yourself. Now, we're brought out of sin when we're saved. We brought out of that pit. You know what makes me sad? I want to say mad. Sometimes mad too. But what makes me sad is Christians that say they're saved, that they've called on Christ, but they've never come out of the pit. They still live like they're not saved. They still act like they're not saved. Now, I have a problem with that because if He brought you out of the pit, how come you keep going back down in there? Maybe you didn't get saved. Maybe you just got baptized. You know, if you're down in that pit and somebody pours a bucket of water on you, it'll wash you off there for a minute, but it won't be long. You'll be muddy again. Amen? Amen. I better move on until I hit a nerve on that one. Look at verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock.
Thank you, Lord.
And established my goings. Now listen, when I got saved, He didn't just save me, but He brought me up by His grace. He brought me up from where I was to a better place. Y'all still with me?
Oh, yes.
Look, if you say you've been saved, you trusted Christ as your Savior, how can you stay down there when He said He brought you up? Maybe you wasn't real. Maybe you didn't mean business. He didn't bring you up. And I'm kind of like old Billy Sunday, the last famous Presbyterian evangelist, said this. He said, "The problem in churches ain't that we got so many backslidden members. The problem is we got so many ain't never slid forward in the first place."
Yeah.
And now profession without possession. But He brought us up by His grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we're not better because we're better. We're better because He's better.
Amen.
We're not better because we turned over a new leaf or went a new direction. We're better because He lifted us up.
Amen.
We're better because He changes us. Hey, look, He established our going forth. We didn't do that. He did that. I hear people, you know, brag on how good a Christian they are, and I think to myself, if that's true, you need to quit bragging. You didn't do that. Jesus did that. And so salvation's by grace through faith. He didn't have to lift you up. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died." While you was in the pit, He died for you. Now, we're brought up and out of sin. Now, does that mean we never sin again? No, it doesn't mean that. And every day we're going to sin. But I'm not always what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And He's still working on me, by the way. You might have arrived yourself. And by the way, have you ever noticed that the people that say that He brought them up out of a pit, they're so busy pointing out the dirt on everybody else that they ain't got time to look at themselves, that they're still in the pit? He set me upon a rock. 2 Samuel 22:2 says, "The Lord is my rock." We sing this song at camp. Rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. My feet are on the rock and my name is on the roll. Amen. And a rock, that means a solid place. Unchangeable place. Brother Alton was out here with his tractor one day tearing up stuff. And you get on one of those tractors, you start pushing up dirt, and you hit a rock, it'll stop you. Amen? We got an old lawnmower out there. We bought a new lawnmower, thank God, but we still got the old one that Rudy's put together with duct tape and clothes hangers and nuts and bolts. And I was out there in that field. I didn't want to cut it with the new lawnmower, you know, old bushy stuff. And I thought I'd got all the little stumps up. And I'm going down to there. I got that thing wide open, way out on the road, and I'm cutting grass. And I go, all of a sudden, I go over the steering wheel like that right there. I mean, it just stopped just like that. Cut off. I tried to crank it, and that blade went whop, 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 whop. I had done hit a stump about that high with the bed where that blade's turning, and it hurt it. I can't crank the thing no more. I'm going to have to beat that thing back out. But let me tell you something about when He put me on a rock, that stopped a lot of stuff. It stopped a lot of slipping and sliding. Yes, amen? And sin can't go against that rock. It's solid. It's not going to move. Jesus Christ is the only thing solid in our life that's unmovable and unchangeable. And don't you tell me that you got up out of the pit and on the rock and you keep changing back and forth. My standing in Christ is I'm on a rock. He said, "I'll never leave you." He said, "I'll go with you to the ends of the age." He said, "I'll go with you through life." He said, "I'll go with you through trouble." He said, "I'll go with you through death." And so he, in verse 2, he says, "He established my goings." Now listen to me, folks. If you're a child of God, you've been saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God now lives in you. Everywhere you go, He goes with you.
That's right.
Amen. Well, that's an awesome thought.
Yes, it is.
Number one, it'll make you fearless in a lot of ways. But in another way, it will make us fearful. We'll be careful where we go and what we do. Amen? Amen? But He gives us stability. He'll give you a stable life if you'll just obey Him and follow Him. Now, my first pastor told me this. He said, "Now, Ron, listen. Don't expect people to change all at once, all that day to get saved." And most of you do expect that. He said if they've had trouble paying their bills all their life just because they got saved yesterday, don't mean they're going to pay their bills this week. They'll have to learn that. He said if they had a bad temper all their life, they're going to struggle with that. It ain't going to change all of a sudden. They're going to struggle with it. Y'all see what I'm saying? He said, but the difference is they've got somebody walking with them that can help them now. Stability. It'll make you stable, brother. It'll make you to where you want to do right. You want to stand right. And you want to act right. and you want to live right, and you want to treat people right, and you want to love people and God right, it'll give you stability to where your goals are now different. You're headed in a different direction, and that's a stable life. And by the time you've been saved 20 or 30 years, you ought to be a whole lot different than you were the first day you got saved.
Yes, sir.
Because He gives you stability. I grew up in an unstable home, as most of you, some of you did. Had no father. We weren't Christians. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mom didn't get saved until I was a teenager. Y'all listening? And it wasn't stable. And we never knew what was going to happen. And being a Christian, He establishes our going forth. He guides us and He directs us. Now, it may take a while to stay on the right path, but if you'll cling to Him, He will guide you. You won't be in that pit trying to get out. You'll be out trying to go in a good direction. Verse 3 says, put a new song in my mouth. Oh, my goodness. A new song. Woo! Wow. Amen. Y'all just don't. Some of you have no clue what that means. My goodness. I don't live at the Heartbreak Hotel anymore. Come on. Some of you old people, you know what I'm talking about. I know you think Elvis was a saint and all that stuff, but I don't like, hey, I don't go down to the Heartbreak Hotel anymore. I don't sing about that anymore. I don't sing songs of rebellion anymore. I used, boy, growing up, the rock age, I tell you, we had some rebellious songs, buddy. I mean, some ungodly, wicked songs. That old boy, what did AC/DC sing that song, Highway to Hell? That year he died in a car wreck. Wonder where he's at. Amen? We don't sing that kind of stuff anymore. We sing now, we got joyous and happy songs and Thanksgiving songs. We sing, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Well, ain't that a different song than what you used to sing? Amen? We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen? He put a new song in our heart. And He got rid of that old world. And by the way, I wouldn't go to a church that didn't sing that kind of stuff. Amen? Did you know that He put songs of thanksgiving? We don't have blues songs anymore. Amen? We got songs. Hey, if He did anything for you, it's more than you deserve. And then He give you a good testimony there in verse 3. It says, there in verse 3, He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Did you know He gave us a different testimony? Did you know a new reputation? He'll give you a new reputation if you'll follow Him. Boy, you really get saved. You get up out of that nasty, filthy pit you've been living in, and you'll start singing praise to God, and you'll get a testimony, and your testimony will be, I was a child of hell, now I'm a child of God. I was a blasphemer, now I'm praising God. I used to go back, I went back to work, and those old men said, what's wrong with you? I ain't heard you cuss in 2 or 3 days. I said, I don't know. I didn't even know I quit cussing. Amen. He'll put a new, He'll give you a new testimony. And at first, people say, what's done happened to him? And somebody will say, well, or she done got religion. And then after you quit making them think you got religion, that you really got saved, it ain't just church, then they'll say, don't be messing around with him. He's done become a Bible fanatic. All he wants to talk about is Jesus. All he wants to talk about is going to heaven. All he wants to talk about is living right and the blessings of God and the glory of God. Man, you don't want to be around her.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Give you a new testimony. You know, wouldn't it be strange if we just go ask people we know what they really thought of us? I'm not talking about your critics. I'm talking about your friends. Amen. I know you always have critics. Somebody's always going to call you a hypocrite. But I'm talking about your friends and your family. What do you really think about me? Do I have a new testimony? Or do you look at me like you always did? If they're honest, they'll say, nah, there's something different about you. And then last but not least, you know what happens when He brings you up out of that pit? He'll put that new song in your heart, and He'll give you a new testimony. And then it says, many shall see it, and they'll fear God, and they'll want what you got. Romans 12:1, He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I wonder how many people, listen now, I'm about through. I wonder how many people are going to see something in us that would make them want what we have. Christ. I don't mean they'll say, well, you know, Dave, he's a good old guy. He's been a foster parent. He works hard. He pays his bills. He's a good man. I don't mean old Terry. She teaches school. She loves the second grade. Those kids love her. You can't go nowhere in York without seeing people that she knows, and they're always coming up. By the way, nobody knows me in York. They never come up to me. They come up there. And then whenever she's through talking, she'll say, oh, yeah, this is my husband. But I wonder what people... do they know that God brought you out of miry pit?
Yes, Lord.
Do they know that God cleansed you and washed you in the blood of Jesus?
Yes.
Do they know that He's established that you're going forth and you're going in a different direction? Do they know that you're singing a new song? You're not singing an old song. That means you're not rejoicing in sin anymore, but rejoicing in the Lord. I wonder what people really think about us. What's our testimony? What's our testimony? It says, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Why? Because that guy that's in the pit, he ain't no more. And I've told this story over and over, but I only knew one man, really, the closest one I ever knew to a real saint when and I was in my 20s and worked at the bleacher, an old buddy. And I'm telling you something, his reputation was he'd been a drunk. He'd been down in the pit. He had a car wreck, woke up in the hospital and got right with God. And did you know people wouldn't even say a curse word around Bud? No. I'm talking about grown, burly men that were afraid they couldn't talk like that around this man. And he'd come into the room and they'd quit telling their dirty jokes and they'd quit cussing. And he'd walk in the room and they'd keep their mouth shut. They were scared of Bud. Gentle, kind, loving man. Not a fighter, not a threatening person. Just a gentle, loving, kind man. But he had God on him. And when he walked into the room, other men feared him. You say, well, preacher, I don't want people to fear me. Yeah, but see, they didn't fear him. They feared the one that was in him.
That's right.
You know, son, if we're Christians, lost people will be afraid to bother me and you. Because they'll see the power and the presence of a holy God on us, and they think, now, if I hurt him, God's going to get me. Amen. I remember growing up, Brother Holroyd, we didn't go to church, but we were scared of churches. Yeah. They said that was God's house. We were scared to death. And if we went in there, God would kill us. But we knew we wasn't one of His. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
We feared preachers and pastors. We feared them. I thought, man, that man talks to God. And God talks to him. What's he saying about me? We feared them. You fear that old saintly grandma and grandpa. You fear them. You didn't talk back to them. I looked at one of my grandsons the other day. I said, hey, I never had a grandma and grandpa, but I'll tell you one thing. If I did have, I wouldn't have talked to him like you just talked to me, boy.
Amen.
We feared them. We feared older people that knew God. We feared Christians that, boy, you knew they went to church on Sunday. You knew they carried a Bible. You knew they did right and they lived differently than you. And it scared us to death because we thought, man, they, hey, God's done something there. He ain't done over here. And I'm not messing with that. I didn't go to church maybe 3 times as a kid growing up, but I never would have looked over there and said, man, I don't like that choir director. He ain't no good. I wouldn't have said that. I never would have looked up there and said, that preacher, he ain't no good. I don't want to come here. And I certainly wouldn't have, I certainly wouldn't have laughed at him and made fun of him. We feared God. Why? Because we saw people that God had done something with. Now, because of that, when I went to that church that day and Preacher Fonberry preached the Word of God, and his big man, his nickname was Bully before he got saved. He got that name, Kevin. And that big old man preached the Word of God to me. Hey, I didn't make fun of his preaching. I didn't criticize it. I feared it, Brother Billy. It scared me to death. And I thought, boy, if I ever get out of here, I'm never coming back down here. This man scares me. But it was God. It wasn't him. It was God on him. And that choir sang those old-fashioned hymns and those old-fashioned gospel songs. I didn't like it. You know, I like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath. I didn't like that music, but I never would have told those people I didn't like that music. I never would have went up to the choir director and said, y'all need to get hip around here.
Right.
No, I feared them, man. We'd go down there and play basketball and go in that bit. They didn't lock churches back then. And I'd go in those churches and I'd tiptoe down that hall to get me some water because they told me God lived in that place. I didn't want God to know I was there. I tiptoed back out. I didn't slam that door like some of you kids did. I didn't run in and out like some of you kids did. They said that's God's house. It scared me. But it also made me seek God. All those things made me seek God. See, when you Christians quit compromising and trying to accommodate sinners to make them feel better about themselves, they ought not feel better about themselves. He didn't save you by making you feel better about yourself. You ought to convict people. You ought to, walk that narrow path. Stand on that solid rock. And when everybody else is making fun of it and laugh at it, you say, I shall not be moved. And you know what happened? People to get saved.
That's right.
I saw God on Bud. Bud looked at me one day, sitting there reading his little Bible there at the bleacher, and we were working together on that same machine. I was sitting there eating his sandwich, and we were talking, and I'd seen something on TV about the rapture or something, and he looked at me and he said, Ron, you'd make a good Christian. He couldn't have struck me no harder if he'd hit me with his fist. I mean, the Holy Ghost conviction come over me right there. And that's all he had to say. Because see, he had been in the miry pit. He had been lifted out. His going forth had been established. He was on the solid rock. He was living it and walking it and following it and obeying the Lord. And every time I got around him, I could feel God, and he scared me to death. He established our going forth. He'll change our testimony. Look here, we all fail. Every one of us fail. Every one of us fail. We all do. And if people want to, they can pick apart our testimony and say, yeah, but, yeah. But you know what? They cannot deny that God's done something.
That's right.
They cannot deny that God's changed our life. They cannot deny that God has done something in our life that He has not done in their life. They can't deny that.
That's right.
You see, as long as our testimony is pointing to Jesus' testimony, they can't deny that He's the one that does the saving, not us.
That's right.
I found this poem, I'll quit. If the Savior won your heart, and for heaven you've made a start, keep your eye upon the chart and go on.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Hold for God the bit you've got. Be content, whatever your lot. And go on. Feed on Christ, the living bread. Drink of Him, the fountainhead. Think of why His blood was shed. And go on. Now, if you're in a miry pit today, it's because either you didn't know Him better or you enjoy where you're living. And you can't say you don't know better now because you've heard the truth. But if you're in a miry pit, guess what? You wasn't born to go to hell.
Amen.
God wants to get you out of that pit. He wants to save you. And Christian, if you jumped back in that pit, you did that. God didn't do that. And the devil didn't do that. He gets a lot of credit for things he ain't never done. You've chosen to climb back in. Ain't time to climb out. It's a whole lot better up here than it is down there. None of us is ever going to be good enough to say we stand on our own. We don't stand on our own. It's on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I don't stand on my testimony. I stand on His.
Yes, Lord.
I don't walk on my testimony. I walk in His. So how are you doing? You're in the pit. You don't have to live like that. Well, I can help it, preacher. Yeah, you can. Turn to Him. He'll bring you out. And if you are saved, why don't you just realize what He's brought you from, and you'll be singing songs of joy and praise, and you'll stay away from this old worldly, carnal, heartbreaking, moaning stuff. Let's stand, Father. Thank You for Your Word.